الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبعد. الحمد لله يا أخوان. We are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to gather together again to read from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the understanding of the Noble Companions, with wisdom and insight from the scholars of Al-Islam, past and present. And we intend, ikhwan, over this weekend to discuss the benefits from three stories of repentance from major sins. And I chose this topic, ikhwan, as a reminder for all of us of the great importance of repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the great affair of tawbah, the great matter of tawbah in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we will see, ikhwan, when we begin to discuss these narrations. And we start, ikhwan, with the story of the man who killed 100 people, commonly known as the man who killed 99 people. Of course, we know he took the life of that rahib, completing 100. And we will discuss this narration bi-ithnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, with benefits from the ulama of al-Islam, and try our best, ikhwan, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, to clarify from this the importance of tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin, ikhwan, by discussing the verse in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where he describes the worshippers of Ar-Rahman. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرٍ. Those who do not call on gods besides Allah. So the first of the attributes, ikhwan, of the people, the worshippers of Ar-Rahman, are those who practice at tawheed. They are those who call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah alone, ascribing no partners in worship with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. And they do not take a life unjustly, except for a just cause. Now this, ikhwan, of course, is the shahid. This is the highlighting point from these verses that we intend to discuss this evening, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Those who do not take a life unjustly, except for a just cause. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And they do not fornicate or commit adultery. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَٰلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. And whoever does so will receive the punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwan, has mentioned that those who fall into the likes of these sins, these transgressions against Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, for them, ikhwan, is a painful chastisement, a painful punishment. This is, ikhwan, the penalty for one who would fall into such sins. However, Allah Ta'ala says, what, ikhwan, after this, yudha'if lahu al-'adhabu yawm al-qiyamah, and that torment or that punishment will be doubled, will be multiplied. Wa yakhlud fihi muhana, and whoever does so, ikhwan, will abide therein in disgrace, in humiliation and disgrace for these sins, again, of shirk, of murder, and of fornication. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwan, has given the people a makhraj, an escape, a way out. And this is what we intend to discuss, ikhwan, Allah barifikum, tonight and over the weekend. إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except those who repent. Look at that, إِلَّا إِسْتِثْنَا. Allah was showing us the exception here, ikhwan. Except those who repent. So here is the way out. Here is the escape from that painful chastisement, that painful punishment that will be multiplied on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and the people therein will rest therein in disgrace. But Allah has given ikhwana makhraj, a way out. And that ikhwan is those who repent, and those who believe, and those who perform righteous deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّيَّاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. For those Allah will change their sins into good deeds. Not only will they be forgiven, ikhwan, for that crime that they committed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite mercy, will change those bad deeds into good deeds. But again, ikhwan, this rests upon the tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who come with repentance, sincerely, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from these crimes and from these transgressions. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is most merciful, of forgiving. Now, as we said, ikhwan, the shahid from the narration, of course, is that which we mentioned previously. Those who repent, ikhwan, from these crimes, these major sins, in particular, murder. Now, I want to point your attention, ikhwan, to the tartib, the order of those sins that have been mentioned in these verses, in Al-Furqan, in Surah Al-Furqan. The order of those sins in these verses. First is a shirk. Second is murder, unjust murder, and third is fornication. Now, when we look, ikhwan, in many of the works that deal with the major sins from the likes of Al-Dhahabi's book Al-Kaba'ir, we find murder, unjust murder, mentioned second only to shirk billah. Mentioned only to associating partners in worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the scholars of tafsir have mentioned, ikhwan, this ordering is not haphazard. There is a wisdom, there is a hikmah in the ordering of things, as we find in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we pay attention, ikhwan, to the tartib, to the ordering of things and verses. So shirk, ikhwan, a'zam al-ma'asi, the gravest of all sins. And as we see, ikhwan, Allah has mentioned murder here in this verse after mentioning shirk. And in other texts, in the Quran, in the sunnah, we find murder being mentioned after shirk billah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand the gravity, the grave nature of taking a life unjustly in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a major, major sin. And then we look, ikhwan, at the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لن يزال المؤمن في فسحة من دينه ما لم يصب دما حراما. We find in this authentic narration, ikhwan, where the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, in the meaning, a believer continues to guard his faith, meaning having hope in Allah's mercy, having hope in Allah's mercy, so long as he does not shed blood unjustly. And again, ikhwan, when we look at the narration, we pay attention to that which we read, we find, ikhwan al-barifikum, that if one wants to safeguard his religion, if one wants to safeguard his faith, if one wants to continue to have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the matters he must do, it's to refrain from shedding blood unjustly. And this, ikhwan, as we see, shows us the tremendous nature of murder in the verse in the book of Allah and also in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were many more narrations that we could have brought, many more texts that we could have brought to show the severity and the evil of taking a life unjustly in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we will suffice, ikhwan, with that which we have mentioned. And now I want to turn, ikhwan, to the portion of the ayah, illa man taba, except those who repent, except those who repent from these crimes and these sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned regarding this, ikhwan, in the Quran, inna Allah yuhibba at-tawwabin wa yuhibba al-mutatahirin. And this is from Al-Baqarah, ikhwan. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who constantly repent, those who perpetually repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He loves those who purify themselves. And the scholars of tafsir have mentioned, ikhwan, from the Masa'idi, that what is intended, ikhwan, by the mutatahirin, those who purify themselves, ikhwan, المنتزهين عن الأثام. Those who refrain from sins. Those who stay away from the major sins in the likes of the Sikhwan, they are those who purify themselves in one meaning of that portion of the verse. And we see, Ikhwan, that Allah loves the Tawwab. And as the ulama, Ikhwan, of Lugha, of language, have mentioned, that Tawwab is on the wazn of Fa'al, which means someone who does something constantly, over and over again. What do we know from the narration of the Messenger of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? Kullu bani Adam khatta. It is upon the wazn of fa'al. Kullu bani Adam khatta. All of the children of Adam are constantly making mistakes, constantly falling into sin. Continuously, daily, weekly, hourly, falling into sin and transgression. Kullu bani Adam khatta. The best of those who constantly sin, constantly fall into error, constantly fall into transgression, at-tawwabin, are those who constantly repent. Those who are constantly, continuously repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the affair, ikhwan la ibnifikum. So Allah loves those who constantly repent to Him. As we are constantly and continually falling into sin, we are constantly and continually falling into transgression. But Allah has informed us in the Quran that He loves those who repent to Him. This is the nature, Ikhwan, and the affair of repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that regard, Ikhwan, and know he said what? And we can find this in Riyad al-Saliheen. At-tawbah wajiba min kulli dhanb. That repentance is obligatory from every sin. Every sin. And one of the things that I wanted to mention, Ikhwan, is I'm talking tonight about the major sins, the grave sins, murder, shirk billah, fornication, which we discussed over the weekend, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. But when we see in this particular statement of and know we that it is obligatory from every sin, and no one should take it upon themselves to believe that there are sins that are so minute that they don't matter. Yes, there are minor sins. We know this from the narrations and we know this from the text in the Quran and from the narrations of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that yes, there are kaba'ir and saga'ir. That certainly there are major sins and minor sins. But as the ulama have mentioned, the sins that are minor in relation to those that are major. But none of us should look at a sin as something small, as something minute, as something that does not matter. And this always reminds me, Ikhwan, this is reminiscent of the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari in the Sahih. Inna al-mu'min yara dhunubahu ka'annahu qa'id tahta jabal. The believer sees his sins, this is how he sees his sins, as if he is sitting at the base of a mountain, at the bottom of a mountain. Yakhafun yaqa'a alayhi. He is afraid that mountain is about to fall down upon him. An avalanche is about to fall down upon him. That is the analogy he gives of how the believer sees his sins. It's not light to him. It's not a small affair. He sees himself as if he is sitting at the base of a mountain and that mountain is about to fall down upon him. Well, in al-fajr, on the flip side of that, contrarily, in al-fajr adhunubahu kadhubab. مَرَّ عَلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ فَقَالَ هَأَبِهِ هَاكَذَا. The wicked person, Ikhwan, the sinful person, he sees his sins like a fly that lands on his nose. It goes like this, and it flies away. It's something minute, something insignificant, of no concern. Now, of course, Ikhwan, but if you can, we take this narration and understand it in the context of the believer living between hope and fear. But the reality of the matter is what we extract from this narration is that no one should look at a sin as something minute, as something small. And one of the people of the past said, what, Ikhwan? Do not look at the minuteness of a sin, but look at the greatness of the one you are disobeying. And that is the reality of the matter of sin and transgression against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also understand, Ikhwan, that the sagair, that the minor sins, Ikhwan, that if one is heedless regarding them, then they are a pathway to the major sins. When the person becomes heedless, unconcerned, not thinking whatsoever about what he falls into from sins, then it's only a matter of time, Ikhwan, before those sins begin to grow and grow and grow, Ikhwan. And so that individual falls into that which is graver and greater than it. In this regard also, Ikhwan, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, At-tawbah min al-dhamb ka shurb al-dawal al-alil. And Ibn al-Qayyim, Ikhwan, that heart doctor, rahimahullah ta'ala, Ikhwan, what did he say regarding the affair of at-tawbah? Look at the analogy that he gives us, this brilliant and beautiful analogy, this reminder for us that repenting from sin is like the sick person, the ill person, taking the healing medicine, taking the healing cure. So this is the cure, this is the remedy, Ikhwan, for the sick heart. This is the remedy, Ikhwan, for the black heart. This is the remedy, Ikhwan, for the sick individual. Repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ikhwan, is like the medicine to the one who was ill. And in that regard, Ikhwan, again, we return to that portion in the ayah, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except those who repent and believe and perform righteous deeds. عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه. And what was Abu Sa'id's name? Huh? La. Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan ibn Khalas Safi Tha'laba ibn Tha'laba Abu Sa'id Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan ibn Tha'laba Abuhu Minhu Tell you Malik ibn Sinan. Tell me something about him. I'll give you a portion of the question and you give me the answer. He was martyred in which battle? Huh? Uhud, ahsant. Istushida abuhu yom Uhud. He was martyred on the day of Uhud. And he is from the seven companions who narrate the most narrations of the Messenger of Allah, over 1,000 narrations. Where is he in the order of the seven? ما عندك في كلية الحديث يا شيخ He's the seventh. He's the seventh in the order. طيب أكمل. How many narrations does he narrate? أحسنت. 1,170. درست وين؟ وين درست؟ الحمد لله. الله يبارك فيك. خير إن شاء الله. Now, so he is from Ikhwan, those seven companions who narrate the most narrations on the Messenger of Allah. He is seventh in the order, 1,170 narrations. And by the way, Ikhwan, this is not insignificant. We mention these points in these lessons because we want to get to know the companions of the Messenger of Allah. And this is how the Sunnah was preserved by the scholars of Hadith, as we will see momentarily the precision of the scholars of Hadith in the collection and the preservation of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and its meaning. عن أبي سعيد الخدري أن النبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كان في من كان قبلكم وفي رواية البخاري كان في بني إسرائيل. So he mentions, Ikhwan, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there was one from among those who came before you, and in the wording in al-Bukhari, from Bani Israel. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhah Allah Ta'ala, Ikhwan, he mentions that it is important when learning hadith, when discussing hadith, when reading hadith, to gather together the different wordings of a narration, because by gathering the different wordings of a narration together, you receive a fuller picture, more benefit. And this is why the individual, Ikhwan, should not believe because he has read a single narration that he has all knowledge now. We read and then we look up and then we cross-reference and then we look at other narrations. We look at other wordings of the hadith. And I've mentioned this over the years so many times, Ikhwan, ad nauseam, as some people have said to me. The Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, when he collects the narration of the Hajj, according to Jabir bin Abdullah, hakadha ikhwan, that the Sheikh, he mentions, he brings the narration and he will bring in the brackets the different wordings. He'll pull it all together in one text with the different wordings from different places and pull it together in brackets to give you a smooth reading, but you see the entire context of the narration to give a fuller picture of what is going on in the hadith. So he said to Ikhwan that in those who came before you, and then in another wording in Bukhari, fi bani Israel, from the children of Israel, rajul, a man. Now here's where we see again the precision of the scholars of hadith. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, he says, what, Ikhwan al-Fathul Bari, lam aqif ala ismihi, I could not find this man's name. What does that tell us? Huh? Kan yabhath. He went looking for this man's name. Again, this is not insignificant. This is important information. If it wasn't important information, you wouldn't find the likes of these ulama searching and seeking after the names in these narrations. Likewise, Ikhwan, sometimes you'll find in a narration it will say a person asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in another narration it will mention who that person was. And you have scholars of hadith, Ikhwan, who actually collect those narrations where they will mention who those people are who are unnamed in other narrations. Again, this shows us the precision and the diligence of the scholars of hadith, and this is how the sunnah has been preserved. He says, لَمْ أَقِفْ عَلَى إِسْمِهِ وَلَا عَلَى إِسْمِ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ مِمَّنْ ذُكِرَ فِي الْقِصَّةِ He said, I couldn't find his name nor the name of anybody else mentioned in the narration. So again, Ibn Hajar Ikhwan is seeking and searching after this piece of information. This shows us the due diligence that we must have in learning the sunnah. We must chase after everything, Ikhwan, that we can find from this affair of knowledge. Being diligent students of knowledge, Ikhwan, thorough in our research, thorough in our reading, thorough in our review of the sunnah and our learning of the sunnah, so that we can be, Ikhwan, labirifikum, those who strive to aid in the preservation and the spread of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentions after this, Ikhwan, amen. قَتَلَ تِسْعَةٍ وَتِسْعِينَ نَفْسٍ who took 99 lives. He killed 99 people. And as Muhammad al-Athyupi, he mentions Ikhwan, ظُلْمًا, yani unjustly. Of course, to make that fine point there, that he took these lives unjustly, without just cause. Without just cause. فَسَأَلَ أَنْ أَعْلَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَدُلَّ عَلَى الرَّاهِبِ So he began to ask about the knowledgeable people of the earth, the knowledgeable people of the land. He wanted somebody to direct him to the people of knowledge. But initially, Ikhwan, he was directed towards a worshiper, a monk, someone who was diligent in worship but did not have knowledge in the affairs of the religion. فَأَتَاهُ So he went to this monk. فَقَالَ إِنَّهُ قَتَلَ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ نَفْسًا And he said to this monk, to this worshipper, I have killed 99 people. فَهَلْ لَهُ مِنْ تَوْبَ Meaning, هَلْ لِي مِنْ تَوْبَ Is there repentance for me? Now, Ikhwan, he's asking this question because he has concern for his soul, as we'll discuss momentarily, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى He has something of nadam, of remorse and regret. Otherwise, Ikhwan, as Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned, he would not be searching and asking about his affair. Is there any repentance for me? فَقَالَ لَا So the worshipper said, no, there is no repentance for you. فَقَتَلَهُ فَكَمَّلَ بِهِ مِئَةً Now before I move on, Ikhwan, this narration mentions that the man initially took تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ نَفْسًا Where else do we see that wording in a hadith? تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ Give it to me. Sijala. Sijala. There you are. There you are. Inna lillahi tis'atin wa tis'ina isman. Allah, who's the companion who narrates that hadith and who collects it? And I'm coming back to you for the hadith of Sijala. Huh? Abu Huraira? Mutafakun alayhi. So also collecting other books of hadith. I'm back. Where's the hadith collected? And who's the narrator? No, it's not in Bukhari. The hadith, let me give you the hadith. إن الله سيخلص الرجل من أمتي على الرؤوس الخلائق يوم القيامة فينشر عليه 99 سجلا. كل سجل مثل مد البصر. Every يعني scroll like this will stretch as far as the eye can see. Narrator and who collects it. أحسنت. عبد الله بن عمر. Ibn Amr ibn al-As, Ahsant. And who collects it? La. Anybody? Wainik? Takhtafi al-An? Huh? At-Tirmidhi and? Ibn Majah. Ahsant, Ahsant. At-Tirmidhi ibn Majah. Authenticated by Sheikh al-Albani. Naam. Another one. Give me another one. If not, I'll give you homework for tomorrow. I'll give you a bahth, a research project. So I'll give you another one. جعل الله الرحمة مئة جزء. Allah has created mercy in 100 parts. فأمسك عنده 99 فأنزل في الأرض جزء واحدة. Allah has created mercy in 100 parts. 99. He what? Kept with himself and sent one of those portions to the earth. Allahu Akbar. Look at that, Ikhwan. That narrator is collected by whom and who reports it? Abu Huraira, collected by Muslim, Ikhwan. Abu Huraira, collected by Muslim. Allahu Akbar. We make those connections, Ikhwan, when we see those kinds of wordings in the narration. We make connections between the narrations. That's what we mean, Ikhwan, about being diligent in the research, being diligent in making the connections between these different narrations. So he said to him, Ikhwan La, that there was no tell before him. Sheikh Muhammad al-Ithyupi, he says regarding this, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his explanation of the Sahih of Imam Muslim, La tawba laka ba'd in qatal 99 insanan, meaning that there is no repentance for you, there is no hope of repentance for you after taking 99 lives. فَأَفْتَاهُ بِذَلِكَ. So he gave him this verdict. He gave him this verdict that there was no repentance for him. Why? لِغَرَبَةِ الْخَشَّ عَلَيْهِ. Due to his prevailing fear for this man. Now, this individual, Ikhwan, was a worshiper. He was not knowledgeable, as we'll see momentarily. Inshallah. He was not knowledgeable. So because he was a worshiper, and because that was what he was engrossed in worship, and he wasn't knowledgeable of the affairs of the religion, in his mind, Ikhwan, he magnified the affairs so much so that there's no way, after taking one life, let alone 99 lives, there is no possible way that you could be forgiven. So he gave this verdict out of ignorance. He gave this verdict upon jahl. And as he says, Ikhwan, due to his prevailing fear for this individual, وَقَالَ الْقَارِي علي القاري وهذا قالوا إما جهل منه بعلم التوبة. He said this either out of his ignorance, as we said a moment ago, of the affairs of Tawbah, either from that, or as we said earlier, due to his prevailing fear for this individual. So it was either this or that. So he took his life, Ikhwan, completing, as we said, 100 people. Also, Ali al-Qadi, he says regarding this, Ikhwan, لِأَنَّ فُتْيَاهُ اِقْتَضَتْ عِنْدُهُ أَلَّا نَجَاتَ لَهُ. Why? When this man heard that there was no tawbah for him, that there was no repentance for him, he figured that there was no hope for him. He lost hope in that moment. So if there is no hope for him, then why would he change his ways? Why would he abandon the path that he was upon? Why abandon the evil that he was upon if he's already destroyed? If he's already going to be destroyed, then what is the benefit in that point of changing his ways, doing anything better. So when an individual loses hope, and this is what this monk did for this person, did to this person, he caused him to lose hope. So once this man lost hope, ikhwan, in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in forgiveness, in tawbah, he went ahead and killed that man and completed taking 100 lives. Faya'is min ar-rahmah. He despaired of Allah's mercy. But Allah, ikhwan, even after this, look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when even after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala touched his heart in such a way, ikhwan, فَنَدِمْ, he became remorseful and regretful again for the taking of these lives. فَنَدِمَ عَلَى مَا صَنَعْ, he became regretful for his action, for what he had done. فَرَجِعَ يَسْأَلْ, and continued to ask about his affair. So even after taking 100 lives, ikhwan, a grave sin, we talked about earlier, ikhwan, the taking of a single life unjustly. How much so, ikhwan, more an individual taking 100 lives unjustly. And here he is, ikhwan, still remorseful, still regretful, still trying to find an answer, ikhwan, regarding his affair. And al-Qari says, فيه إشار إلى قلة فتنة الراهب. This narration, ikhwan, demonstrates and alludes to this monk's lack of intelligence, not just knowledge. He didn't just have a lack of knowledge of the affairs of Tawbah and the affairs of religion. He had a lack of intelligence. For common sense would tell you, if a man just told you, listen, I done killed 99 people, is there any hope for me? Common sense would tell you, don't cause this man to lose hope. So Al-Qadi is saying here, what? This man didn't even have intellect, let alone religious knowledge. He didn't even have common sense enough to know, preserve your life. Pull yourself out of this situation that you were in. There's hope for you. Even if you know better in that situation. So this, ikhwan, as the ulama have mentioned, from the Al-Qadi al-Athyubi, others have said similar, as we'll read, bi idhnillahi ta'ala. He said, لِأَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنْ حَقِّهِ تَحَرُّزْ مِمَّنْ اِجْتَرَ عَلَى الْقَتْلِ حَتَّى صَارَ لَهُ عَادَةٌ. It would have been prudent for him, it would have been intelligent for him to be wary of this man who just told him that he had committed 99 murders. He's a serial murderer in front of him, ikhwan. It would have been prudent for him, ikhwan, to be wary of what he says in front of this man. So not only did he not have knowledge of the affairs of the religion, ikhwan, he didn't even have common sense, basic intellect, ikhwan, that would preserve his life and aid him in this situation. Regarding ikhwan al-Qurtubi, he says, rahimahullah, قَالُ الرَّاهِبُ لِلْقَاتِلِ, this monk's statement to the killer, لَا تَوْبَ لَكْ دِلِيلْ عَلَى قِلَّةِ عِلْمْ ذَلِكَ الرَّاهِبُ. Similar to what we said, other ulama, saying similar to what we just mentioned from Al-Qari, that this narration indicates this monk's lack of knowledge. Now we say knowledge, we mean here knowledge of the affairs of religion and of Tawbah. أَلَبِي فِيكُمْ وَعَدَّمْ فِثْنَتِهِ, and also his lack of, as we said, intellect. حَيْثُ لَمْ يُسْشِبْ وَجْهِ الْفُطْيَا, because he didn't get the fatwa right, and he didn't protect himself from a serial murderer in front of him. So he got both affairs wrong. He don't have knowledge of deen, and he don't have, as we said, basic intellect. فَإِنَّهُ لَمَّا آيَاسُهُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, so when he caused this man to despair of Allah's mercy, وَتَوْبَتِي, and Allah's forgiveness, the man, therefore, at that moment, killed him. Now, look what he goes on to say, the Al-Qurtubi, ikhwan. وَلَمَّا لَطَفَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, but when Allah showed his kindness to this man who just took 100 lives, Allah is most merciful, off forgiving, ya ikhwan, even with the heinous nature of this man's crimes, the evil and the transgression of murder, the taking of these lives unjustly, Allah still, ikhwan, showed kindness to him. In what way, ikhwan? بَقِيَ فِي نَفْسِهَا الرَّغْبَى فِي السُّؤَالَ عَنْ حَالِهِ. This man still had the desire to find out about his affair. Out of Allah's mercy and kindness to this individual, ikhwan. Allah يبارك فيكم. This shows the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhwan. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, ikhwan, we do not cause people to lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kullu bani Adam khatah. The people are going to fall headlong into sin, ikhwan. May Allah protect us. May Allah safeguard us. The people are going to fall headlong into sin, ikhwan abidifikum. It is our duty, it is our job, ikhwan abidifikum, to give the people hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to teach them from the affairs of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, encourage them to tawheed. I remember, ikhwan, and this is in the work that we put together some years ago on the stories of repentance, that a woman contacted Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. And her question, ikhwan, and I don't remember the exact number of years, 26, 36 years, I can't remember the exact number of years, but it was decades that she had abandoned prayer. Decades that she had stopped praying, 26 years, 30 years, something like this, she had stopped praying. And from the encouragement of her children, they encouraged her to return to prayer, that she had to pray, and the obligation of prayer, she wanted to return to prayer, but she was afraid for herself. Hadn't prayed in 26 years, what's going to be my affair? Am I going to be destroyed? What's going to happen to me? Do I have to make up 26 years of prayer, reaching out to Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah? The Sheikh did not cause her to despair. The Sheikh did not cause her to feel like there was no hope, that all hope was lost. He said, Abshiri, glad tidings of Tawbah. Glad tidings of repentance. Know that repentance wipes away that which came before it. He gave this woman hope. He gave her glad tidings of Tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, ikhwan, is the answer of an alim. Not like those, ikhwan, like this rahib, who caused people to lose hope in Allah's mercy. Allah will never forgive you. How heinous is the sin that you committed? Yes, of course, ikhwan, we want to make the zajr. We want to show the people, ikhwan, the severity of the sin, no doubt. But when you see a person is broken up, and that is what a nadam is, and we'll talk about a nadam momentarily, bithnillahi ta'ala, that is what a nadam is, that is what remorse is. Shiddatul huzn, severe sadness, being broken up because of the sin that one has committed. So you see the person, ikhwan, is broken up. At that moment, ikhwan, we give them hope. So this woman is asking Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, what about my affair? What's going to happen to me? Am I destroyed? The Sheikh said, glad tidings of Tawbah. Tawbah wipes away that which came before it. Pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Begin to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and receive glad tidings of Tawbah. This, ikhwan, is the answer of the people of ilm, the people of knowledge, giving hope, ikhwan, to the people of sin. He says, after this, ikhwan, al-Qurtubi, that he had, ikhwan, this raghba to continue to ask about his condition. فَمَا زَال يَبْحَثْ إِلَىٰ أَنْسَاقَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَىٰ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ الْعَالَمِ الْفَاضِلِ. And he continued to ask about his affair, ikhwan, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided him to this esteemed scholar. Now, as we said, ikhwan, this is based on his nadam, yani his remorse, his regret. And his sindi, ikhwan, and this is based on the narration that the Messenger of Allah said, an-nadamu tawbah, that remorse is repentance. He named the thing repentance. He named remorse repentance. Why? Huh? Continue. Why? Aywa. Because without Arafah, there is no Hajj. And there are other rites of Hajj, but without that, there's no Hajj. And likewise, ikhwan, without Nadam, where is the Tawbah? Look what As-Sindi says in his Ta'liqat on the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Samahu Tawbah. He named it Tawbah liyahammiyatihi, because of its importance, because of its central importance to the affair of Tawbah. For إِذَا لَا يَنْدَمْ شَخْص, if a person does not have regret and remorse, عَلَى ذُنُوبِهِ, because of his sins, لَا يَقُمْ بِبَاقِ شُرُوتِ التَّوْبَةِ, if you don't have that first affair of regret and remorse, he ain't about to bring the other conditions of repentance. To leave off this, first of all, to determine, not to leave off the sin immediately, and to determine within oneself, resolutely, never to return to that sin. If you don't have the regret and the remorse, if you ain't broken up, if you're not regretful over what you have done, what you have committed, then why would you do the other two acts? And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, and that's why the ulama have explained and clarified, Ikhwan, that that is what is intended there. And as we said, Ikhwan, in Lisan al-Arab, it mentioned that the meaning of an-nadam is shiddatul huzn, severe sadness. Again, being broken up, Ikhwan, because of one's sins. So this alim, Ikhwan, when he went to this alim, ثُمَّ سَالَ نَعْلَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَدُلَّ عَلَى رَجُلٍ عَالِمٍ. So this time, Ikhwan, he was directed to a scholar, a person of knowledge. فَقَالَ إِنُّ قَتْلَ مِيَةَ نَفْسٍ. And tell this man that he told this alim, this scholar, that he had taken 100 lives. Afwan, he took 100 lives. فَهَلْ لَهُ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. Halli min tawbah, is there any repentance for me? Now look at the answer of this alim, this noble scholar. Na'am, yes. Wa man yahulu baynahu wa bayn at-tawbah. Who will come between you and tawbah? Who will come between you and repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who can prevent tawbah? Who can prohibit you from tawbah if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives you? Who? And he says, after this, Ikhwan, بينه وبين التوبة يعني التوبة مفتوح بابها. And this of course is from Muhammad al-Thiyubi, Afwan, that the door of Tawbah remains open, that the door of repentance remains open. فبادر إليها, so hasten towards it, towards Tawbah, rush, hasten towards Tawbah. And he says after this, Ikhwan, ثم أرشده إلى ما يعينه عليها. Not only did he tell him, yeah, there's hope for you. Yeah, there's tawbah for you. The alim, Ikhwan, gives you a way out. He explains for you and clarifies for you how to achieve this affair. So he didn't just tell him, nah, there's tawbah for you, and then he just stopped talking. He clarifies for him, Ikhwan, gives him proper understanding, proper information, direction, irshad, ya Ikhwan, in how he can attain this affair of tawbah. How long have we been going? He says, Ikhwan, intaliq. So he gives them this command, Ikhwan. He says to this man who had taken these 99 lives, he says, intaliq. Ay, idhab ila ardika hadhihi, idhab min ardika hadhihi allati irtakabta fiha hadhihi al-jara'im al-shani'a al-fadhi'a. Flee the land, flee this land of yours in which you used to commit these heinous evil crimes. Flee that land. Now look, Ikhwan, again, he's giving him direction. He's giving him irshad, ya Ikhwan. Flee this land. Leave this land of yours. Ila ardi kada wa kada. And go to such and such a land. Now here's another benefit, Ikhwan. Li ardin sammaha lahu. A land that he named for him. A land that he named, he gave a name for it. Allah be with you. Come some of the other narrations. وَوَقَعَ تَسْمِيَ الْقَرِيَتَيْنِ فِي حَدِيثِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ibn Amr ibn al-As. So the names of these two places, the evil land and the good land, are mentioned in another narration on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Again, this shows the precision of the scholars of hadith, tracking down, tracing even the names of these villages. إِخْوَانَ اللَّهِ بِرِفِيكُمْ. And so he says, this is in Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir Al-Tabarani. قَالَ فِي إِنَّ إِسْمِ الْقَرِيَ الصَّالِحَ. The name of that righteous land was Nusra. هكذا نصرة. قَالَ بِالْفِيكُمْ. وَإِسْمِ الْقَرِيَ الْأُخْرَى كَثَرَ. يعني هكذا. So again, Ikhwan, this is all, we can find this also in Fath al-Bari. This is mentioned in Fath al-Bari by Ibn Hajar. Naam. So he mentions, Ikhwan, the names of these lands. So he tells him, Ikhwan, go to such and such a land. فَإِنَّ بِهَا أُنَاسٍ يَعَبُدُونَ اللَّهِ فَعَبُدِ اللَّهِ مَعَهُمْ. Go to such and such a land. For indeed in that land are people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People of righteousness, people who pray, people people who fast, people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example. So go to that land and worship Allah along with them. And Muhammad al-Ithiopi, he says, Ikhwan hatta tulhaq bihim. So you can join in with them and be among them. And inshallah be like them. And we know, Ikhwan, khuliqa al-insan da'ifa. The human being is created weak. And he is affected either negatively or positively by those who are around him. You are affected either positively or negatively by those who are around you. So if, as we see in this narration, this is from the evidences of this, if you keep company with a wicked, evil people, it's only a matter of time, Ikhwan, before you will fall victim to their evil and their transgression. It's only a matter of time. This is what we see, Ikhwan, from the likes of these narrations. And likewise, Ikhwan, those who are around the people of good and nobility and honor, one would be shy, Ikhwan, the people getting up to go make wudu and go pray, and you're going to still sit there and not pray? Hey, the man would be shy in the company of those kind of people. He wants to be among them. He wants to be like them, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. And therefore, they have a positive effect on him. So this alim, this person of knowledge, is giving him a good instruction, a noble instruction, to keep good company, to go to a righteous place, as we will see, inshallah ta'ala, in more detail momentarily, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. So go to such and such a land, for indeed in that land are people who worship Allah and worship Allah along with them. وَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكَ, and do not return to your land. Don't go back. Don't go to pick up a shirt. Don't go back for a cup of water. Do not go back to your land. Do not return to your land. For indeed it is an evil land. And again, Ikhwan, this is a reminder for us. Stay away from the places and the people around whom we used to sin, and in those places therein where we used to sin, remain from them, stay away from them, abstain from them, and travel to the places of good. Get off the corners. Come to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave off the clubs and the lifestyles and come, Ikhwan al-Fikum, to the maraqis of al-Islam, the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The places of prayer and of ibad, of worship, of qira'at al-Qur'an, and the likes of this, come to those places. Leave off the people of evil. Leave off the people of sin. Leave off the people of transgression. For in this is a remedy. In this, Ikhwan, is a remedy for the individual, and it's a part of a person's tawbah. Did we not say, Ikhwan, that from those conditions, it's to leave off those matters immediately and to determine wholeheartedly never to return to them. So therefore, the person now, Ikhwan, in showing that, in demonstrating that that is what he holds within himself, he moves out. He leaves it off. He flees from it. But the individual, Ikhwan, who claims and thinks that he is so strong that he can continue to remain among the people that he would fall into sin with, remain among the people that he will fall into transgression with because he believes himself to be so strong, he knows better now, so he can go back to those people. It's only a matter of time, Ikhwan, again, before he falls headlong into those matters of transgression. So he says, Ikhwan, labirifikum. He told him, وَلَا تَرْجِ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكَ فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضٌ سُوءٌ, for indeed it is an evil land. فَانْتَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا نَصَفَ الطَّرِيقَ أَتَاهُ الْمَوْتِ. And this, Ikhwan, is a tremendous narration in so many ways. So many fawaid. We could go on, Ikhwan, for days on and on in regarding this narration. None of us knows when our time is coming. None of us knows what our final affair is going to be. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالِ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Indeed, the affairs are only your last deeds. That is the reckoning, Ikhwan. We ask Allah for a good ending. For a good end. But none of us has guarantees, Ikhwan. None of us knows when our appointed time is coming. Here's a man, Ikhwan, who spent his life in sin and in transgression, but found remorse, found regret, found his heart was broken up, and began to ask about the people. Went to this monk, asked about repentance. The monk said, no hope for you. Killed that man and completed 100. His life could have been taken at that moment, but Allah spared him and gave him some time. He reached this alam and asked about Tawbah and was told to go to the land of the righteous, the land of the pious, the land of the good, to worship Allah alongside them and inshallah be among them and like them. And what happens, Ikhwan? He doesn't reach the land. He dies in the path. Perhaps he thought in his mind he was going to make it to that land. But the decree of Allah overtook him. And he died in the path. None of us has any guarantees, Ikhwan, when we're going to die. Ikhwan, I've heard people make statements that they're going to make hajj. They're young. I'm in my 20s. I'm going to wait till I get old to make hajj. What is their reasoning? Their reasoning is that because the hajj mabrur, what is the reward for hajj mabrur? What's the reward? What's the reward? That you come out of the hajj mabrur like what? Like the day you were born. I'm looking for the actual wording. So look, they say what? I'm in my 20s. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get my sins out the way. And then when I get old, I'll go ahead and I'll go make hajj. Look at the thinking, Ikhwan, of an individual. It's like those brothers of Yusuf, they said, we're going to throw them in the pit and then become righteous afterwards. Allah al-musta'an. So therefore, Ikhwan al-Barifikum, the individual has no idea when his affair is coming. He knows for certainty that it is coming, but has no idea when it is coming. And therefore, Ikhwan, we see in this narration, look at this man's affair. Did not make it, Ikhwan. He got halfway to the land of righteousness, for atahu al-maut, and death came to him. فَاخْتَصَمَتْ فِيهِ مَلَائِكَةَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And then there was a dispute, Ikhwan, between the angels of mercy and the angels of al-azab, the angels of punishment. The angels of mercy said, جَاءَ تَائِبًا مُقْبِلًا إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي أَرَادِ. He came sincerely repentant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerely traveling to the land of good, the land that he intended. That he came to this land, يعني تائباً مُقْبِلًا بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, intently, wholeheartedly desiring to repent to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Regarding this, Ikhwan al-Qurtubi makes some tremendous statements in the explanation of this portion of the narration. He says, regarding a statement that the angels, when they said he came, repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هذا نص صريح في أن الله أطلع ملائكة الرحمة على ما في قلبه. This is, in the narration, Ikhwan, evidence that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the angels of mercy information. He informed the angels of mercy of what was in the heart of this individual. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels of mercy what this man intended, what was in his heart. This is a tremendous benefit, Ikhwan. If you're taking notes, take notes, Ikhwan al-Barifikum. He says that this explicitly states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave knowledge to the angels of mercy that which was in the heart of this man. من صحة قصده إلى التوبة, of his sincere desire and intent to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وحرصه عليها, his intent desire to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأن ذلك خفي على ملائكة العذاب, and that knowledge was not given or was hidden from the angels of punishment. They didn't have knowledge of that. So the angels of mercy were speaking from the knowledge that was given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angels of punishment were speaking from that which they knew. And we're going to see a qa'idah in the usul in a moment, Ikhwan, that we extract from this affair. So he says, Ikhwan, that this was not known. This was unknown to the angels of punishment. And to the point where they said, إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ خَيْرًا قَطْ. They said, he ain't never done any good. Based upon that which they had of knowledge of this man's actions and his background. And the message after this, إِخْوَانَ لَبَرِفِيكُمْ, that each group of angels was informing in that which they had of knowledge. لكن شهادة ملائكة الرحمة على الإثبات. The angels of mercy, إخوان, were making an affirmation. They were affirming this matter, إخوان, of this man's affair. And the angels of punishment were making, إخوان, نفي. They were negating this affair. And there's a قاعدة, إخوان, in the أصول يقدم المثبت على النافي. That the one who was affirming a matter takes precedence over one who was negating. Why? The ulama say because of ziyadatul ilm. Because the one who was affirming something has additional knowledge. He has more knowledge in that circumstance or in situation than the one who was negating the matter. So the angels of mercy, they had ziyadatul ilm. They had additional knowledge that the angels of punishment didn't have in this regard. However, إخوان, we find in the narration that when this dispute took place, أتاهم ملك في سورة آدمي, that an angel came in the form of a human. فجعلوه بينهم, and so he came between them. فقال قيسوا ما بين الأرضين, so measure what is between the two lands. فإلى أيتهما كان أدنى فهو له. And whatever land he is closest to, then that is the land that he, yani, will be counted with or counted among. فَقَاسُهُ, so they counted or they measured. فَوَجَدُهُ أَدْنَى, and they found him closer. إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الَّتِي أَرَادَ, they found him closer to the land that he intended. فَقَبَضَتْهُ مَلَائِكَةُ الرَّحْمَةِ, and so the angels of mercy took his soul. Now this, إخوان أبي رفيكم, is a tremendous end to this narration, but I want to make a couple of points before we end this particular session, and we'll continue, إخوان, in this regard in tomorrow's lesson, بإذن الله تعالى. Muhammad al-Thiyubi, again, إخوان, his explanation of Sahih Muslim regarding the statement of the angels of punishment, regarding the narration of the angels of punishment. لعل ذلك لكون قتل مئة نفس فأحاط ذلك بحسناته كلها أو لأنهم علموا أنه ليس من أهل الطاعة بل عمره كله جرائم. They say, إخوان, or he mentions Al-Thiyubi, this is because of the fact that he had taken 100 lives, and this, إخوان, بلفيكم, engulfed, swallowed up whatever good deeds he had. Again, we talked about each group of angels basing their statements upon their knowledge of the situation. So they're looking at an individual, إخوان, who spent a lifetime in sin and transgression to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that moment, إخوان, they said, لم يعمل خيرا قط, he has never done any good based upon that which they had knowledge of. However, the angels of mercy, Allah informed them of the sincerity of this man's heart and his intentions and his desire and his actions in moving to the land of good. And therefore, إخوان, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave this man, as we see in the narrations, and made him from that land of the people of good. And the angels of mercy, therefore, took his soul. And the other yani, points of benefit, إخوان, but we are approaching the time of Maghrib soon, so I want to give some of the Masail, some of the benefits in summarizing what we have discussed so far today and tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. I do want to read some of the statements from Sheikh ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, to complete our understanding of this narration. Sheikh Muhammad al-Thiyubi, إخوان, again in his explanation of the Sahih of Imam Muslim, and this, إخوان, is one of the reasons why it is important to go to the shuruh, the books that explicate and explain these narrations. And I'll give you an example, إخوان, quickly. I first translated the Muqaddima, the introduction to Sahih Muslim, in 2001. And at that particular time, إخوان, yani, I relied heavily on some of the shuruh, of course, at the time. In particular, of course, the commentary of An-Nawawi, in particular on Sahih Muslim. Yani, and alhamdulillah, may Allah forgive me for whatever mistakes we made in that first translation. But when the explanation of Sheikh Muhammad al-Thiyubi came out, two volumes, a two-volume explanation
of the introduction to the Sahih of Imam Muslim, Ikhwan, I went back to revise the translation and I found how wanting and lacking that translation was. But by using the explanation of the Sheikh, again, bringing all of these different words, explaining words in the Arabic language, but also some gharib al-hadith, some obscure words, clarifying their meaning, bringing other examples. It was so beneficial that that's when we decided to take some of the fawaid, some of the benefits from that explanation, and then we came up with the volume, Benefits from the Introduction to Sahih Muslim, and we hope to Allah to reprint that book in the near future, inshallah ta'ala. But the Shahad Ikhwan, the point of me mentioning that is to show the importance of reading the works that explain these narrations. So when one reads, for example, Yani al-Bukhari, he reads Fathul Bari, for example. When one reads the Sahih of Imam Muslim, he reads and Nawawi, he reads the Thuyubi's explanation, the Qurtubi's explanation. Other than that, when he's reading the Jami of Tirmidhi, he reads al-Mubarak 40, Tuhfat al-Ahwadi. When he's reading the Sunan of Abi Dawud, he reads along with that. Aun al-Ma'bud, for example, these different works that explain these narrations in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, Ikhwan, we have the benefit of what these scholars have produced from the clarification of the narration. Because understanding a narration, Ikhwan, you have to understand the fiqh of the narration, the intent of the narration. And the Shaykh al-Albani, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, regarding asbab al-nuzul, the reasons for the revelation of verses. In the Quran, he says, when you know the reason why an ayah was revealed, Shaykh al-Albani said, you have half the knowledge of the meaning of that verse. Likewise, he said, when you know the reason why the Messenger of Allah mentioned a narration, you have half the fiqh of that narration, half the understanding of that narration. And you find that, Ikhwan, by going to the books of Sharh, the explanations of these narrations, as we strive to do in our lessons and in our readings. So I end on this, Ikhwan, inshallah ta'ala. He mentions first, the first benefit he mentions, Mashru'iyya at-tawbah min jami' al-kaba'ir. And this is again sort of a summary, Ikhwan, of what we talked about. Yani the legislative manner, or matter, I should say, the legislative matter of repenting from every major sin, hatta min qatl. Especially, we should say, murder. Next benefit. Bayan fala tahawul min al-ard allati yusibu al-insan fiha al-ma'siyah. The virtue of fleeing a place where one commits sins. The virtue of fleeing a place where one commits sins. Why? And I'll let the Shaykh give a little bit more clarification here. Lima yaghlibu bihukm al-'ad 'ala mithli dhalika. Because when a person becomes accustomed to doing something in a particular place, then one should leave that place if that affair is evil. وَإِمَّا لِوُجُودْ مَنْ كَانَ يُعِينُهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Or because there are people present there who aid that person in sin. Who aid that person in sin وَيُحُضُّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And incite him or encourage or prod him to commit these sins. So either way, one should leave that land, وَلِهَذَا قَالَهُ الْأَخِيرُ. And therefore that last person he asked, that scholar said, لَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكَ فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضٌ سُوءٌ. And therefore he said, do not return to your land, for indeed it is an evil land. The next benefit, he says, or the next issue, he says, فِيهِ إِشَارِ إِلَىٰ أَنَّ التَّائِبْ يَنْبَغِي لَهُ مُفَارَقَ الْأَحْوَالِ الَّتِي اَعْتَادَهَا فِي زَمْنِ الْمَعَصِيَةِ وَتَحَوُّلْ مِنْهَا كُلِّهَا وَاشْتِغَالْ بِغَيْرِهَا. Now this is sort of similar to that which we just read a second ago, but I do want to kind of make an additional point here. He says it indicates that the repenter should leave his customary circumstances, his yani everyday circumstances, as we said, yani during the time of when he would sin, when he used to sin. Again, leaving that place, fleeing from that place, so as Ikhwan al-Bidifikum to no longer be upon and around those people who remind him of those places of sin and transgression. Now, Ikhwan al-Bidifikum, we know, for example, if a person is trying to kick a particular habit, they're trying to leave off a bad habit, for example, that one of the things that people will advise them with, Ikhwan, is to leave off triggers. What is a trigger? I hate to use this language, but Allah musta'an. These things, Ikhwan, that will sort of remind you of what that thing tasted like, or what that thing sounded like or looked like. It might trigger or remind something in you, ikhwan abidifikum. And therefore, one of the ways to avoid those things is to flee from them, to separate yourself from them altogether. The next he says, ikhwan, Allah abidifikum, from these benefits, فضل العالم على العابد, the virtue of the scholar over the worshipper. The virtue of the scholar over the worshipper. لِأَنَّ الَّذِي أَفْتَاهُ أَوَّلًا بِأَنَّ لَا تَوْبَ لَهُ غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ الْعِبَادَةِ فَاسْتَعْذَمَ وُقُوعَ مَا وَقَعَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And he says, ikhwan, that because the first person... I'll end, ikhwan, on these last couple of points that the Shaykh mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says the virtue of the alim over the worshipper, because the first one who gave that verdict, meaning the abid, the worshipper, he was engrossed in worship. He was engrossed in worship, and therefore regarded these man's sins to be so great, to be too great, for him to be able to seek repentance or to be forgiven for that which he had committed. He also mentions ikhwan, وَأَمَّ الثَّانِي, asked for the second, meaning the alim, فَغَلَبَ عَلَيْهِ الْعِلْمِ, he was a person of knowledge. فَأَفْتَاهُ بِالصَّوَابِ, so he gave him a correct verdict regarding his situation. وَدَلُهُ عَلَى تَرِكَ النَّجَاءِ, and not only did he again give him those glad tidings of tawbah, but he also directed him to the path of success. And finally, ikhwan, the last benefit here, that tawbah as iyad, he says, تَنْفَعْ مِنَ الْقَتَلْ كَمَا تَنْفَعْ مِنْ سَائِرِ الذُّنُوبِ, that repentance will benefit one and avail one for the crime of murder just as it does for all other sins. So we'll end here, inshallah ta'ala. Ask for the questions, ikhwan. We'll answer them tomorrow, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, after our session. And if there are any other questions, write them down and give them to me. And we'll strive to answer them tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Hayakum Allah, ikhwan. As a reminder, ikhwan, Allah ibadifikum, I just want to remind the brothers, you are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know we have a large number of brothers, Allah ibadifikum. This is a benefit, this is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see this masjid packed wall to wall in this fashion. But remember the etiquettes of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So refrain from raising your voices and in a manner, the ikhwan, that is not befitting the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Strive, ikhwan, to keep in accordance with that affair, even in large numbers like this. To the best of your abilities, if you have things that you want to discuss in loud fashion, or not even in loud, you understand, take it outside of the masjid, bi'idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hayakum Allah.